The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Christmas presents may not be the only thing affected by Storm Dara, as around 150,000 passengers relying on Holyhead to Dublin route for Christmas have fears that the port will remain closed during the festive period. Owen Corrie, travel expert with Air and Travel magazine, editor, historian, broadcaster, joins me now to talk about all of this. Owen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the reason that Storm Dara, not an unusually harsh storm, caused so much damage demonstrates our vulnerability.
Absolutely. And it's Holyhead is the second busiest port in Britain. It's not just, just a passing an option for Irish traffic coming to and from the island. It's major impact for the UK economy as well. It's port infrastructure rarely gets damaged to this extent anyway during a storm. It's a real wake up call. Watch our infrastructure, watch our port infrastructure. Mm.
Do we have any explanation from the Port of Holyhead as to why this damage happened for this particular storm? After all, it's been through maybe fiercer storms. Storm Emma and other named storms have not done this kind of damage.
Few, if and even no answers, but a lot of questions. It's an interesting one because ships sometimes get damaged berthing. There wasn't any damage to the two ships involved. The James Joyce pulled in and it hit the finger at the berth that subsequently collapsed. It actually collapsed when the Ulysses was there. Very lucky nobody was injured, damaged, because it was quite a spectacular collapse. But questions will be asked how a ground installation was so badly damaged. Interestingly enough, the two ships are there waiting to service everybody again. But there's a big question as to when Holyhead will be cleared. Holyhead will be cleared to take ships again. Now, the berth that was damaged is not going to be used. Irish Ferries and Stena have agreed to use the adjoining berth, which is normally used by Stena. But because one side of the finger has collapsed, there are a lot of safety inspections have to be gone through, underwater, diving, all of those sort of things. And the deadline is Friday. I have no confidence we'll make that.
Now, people are thinking Friday's Christmas, but Friday's not Christmas. We're talking about Christmas Eve the following Tuesday. So there is a little bit of wriggle room if everyone works a little bit harder.
Right. We're facing a big freight crisis already and backlog of freight. The second wave of this is going to be the passenger crisis. Before the incident, all of the sailings from Friday right through to Christmas were booked out. That's the level of the backlog of passengers that's going to have to be coped with. And it's quite clear also that the alternative ports, which include Fishguard and Pembroke and Birkenhead and over the top through Cairn Ryan, Belfast, aren't able to cope for various reasons, each for individual reasons.
Mm. Now, many people think of passengers on ferries are accompanying cars, and that's the reason they're taking the ferry. They want to move their own vehicle and enjoy the use of it over the Christmas holiday. Certainly, if you live in the UK, you might well do that because there are no issues at all in driving on the island of Ireland in a normal right-hand drive car. But how many people are simply foot passengers? They prefer to use the ferry than fly.
Quite a lot. We have about 40,000 foot passengers, as well as the 33,000 passenger vehicles that are on the booked on the ferry. There'll be about three passengers. Obviously, the car is a huge advantage. People bringing presents, large presents home. A lot of people just like to drive. A lot of people don't like to fly anyway. Before we ran into the accompanying problem, which is complicating matters, which is a passenger cap at Dublin Airport. Remember, we've had a court case about that for next summer, but the winter restrictions are still in place. And that means that we've 100,000 fewer airline seats coming into Dublin Airport. A lot of people come by train. People who are older than you or I am, Pat, will remember the Menai Bridge was out of action for 2 years, 1970 to 72. That's the last time we've seen an infrastructure crisis of this scale affecting Holyhead Port. Very different type of traffic nowadays than we had 50 years ago.
Now, in terms of government response, we heard, I think, Minister Lawless saying, not alone do we need a plan B, we need a plan C and a plan D. Therefore, you know, there is obviously an effort on the Irish government side to do whatever can be done, easing the restrictions on drivers, for example, going up from 9 hours maximum driving time to 11 hours. however safe that might be. Do we have the same kind of proactive attitude in Westminster?
Two speeds here. Minister Lawless, very quick to respond, very quick to take meaningful measures, which include the driving hours on freight. Freight is really badly affected by this while we're talking about holidays this morning. The Cardiff side, quite anxious about it as well. Westminster, much more slow and not probably prioritising the scale of the problem, probably not really aware because they tend to focus a lot on the English Channel, on the trade implications for Holyhead being closed for this length of time. Two speeds here, and the real problem with the derogation on driver hours, that means that the very strict number of hours that a freight driver can drive has been increased marginally. Safety advises that safety will not be affected. It's just to make it possible to for freight drivers to go up to Scotland to the Belfast Cairn Ryan route. But the real problem is most of the driving is not on the Irish side. It's on the Scottish and English side there, and they need the derogation on that side.
Yeah, I mean, for a driver to drive 11 hours instead of 9 hours over a very short period is probably safe enough. The idea that you'd extend that to 11 hours indefinitely would probably constitute a danger because drivers would literally be exhausted from just too much time behind the wheel.
Before the derogation, 11 hours would not be abnormal. Not before the derogation, but before the legislation, which is in place for about 30 years now. They're looking for a similar extension on the UK side. There doesn't seem to be the ear in Westminster that certainly Minister James Lawless, who's been very proactive on this, has shown.
Now, in terms of what can be done on this side of the Atlantic or of the Irish Sea, the idea that this passenger cap might be tweaked to allow more flights in, I mean, this is something of an emergency.
Yeah, there's two things here. First of all, we've been round the houses on that, and there's almost a stonewall on the political side that this is a planning issue which will take all those years to go through.
Is there not a time for a minister to intervene and say, hang on a second? Of course, Minister Ryan is still there, and he has not run for re-election. He'll be minister until the new ministers are appointed. Is he likely to intervene and say, look, we've got to lift the cap temporarily or tweak the cap? Even though, you know, it is there and it is the written in stone, I suppose. But emergencies are emergencies, and you expect governments to move in emergencies.
And the opportunity is still there, and the dynamic within the Department of Transport between Minister Ryan and Minister Lawless is a little bit complicated, and the officials that are involved advising them. The real point here is that even if the cap was lifted with 10 days to go, the airlines they've pretty much committed what aircraft are supposed to be where at this stage. It does give the opportunity for somebody to step in with excess aircraft, which some airlines would have at the moment. I think Ryanair would be in a position to put three, four, maybe more aircraft in for a short-term solution. But we're certainly, that is a political decision, and I don't think the dynamic within the department is heading that direction.
Or the lack of dynamic, shall we say.
You could actually sum up everything that's happened in the passenger cap in that phrase, Pat.
Now, what about Michael O'Leary? Has he made any noises, offering the availability of Ryanair aircraft?
No, he is sitting at the end of his telephone, as he always is. But there are you've got to take the scale here. Aer Lingus have 55 aircraft. Ryanair have 500. The winter is low peak. He parks about one third of them for the winter. And he is in a position to throw aircraft at this problem should there be a request to do so, and should it make financial sense. Because there's the uncertainty, and the fact that we have an opening date on Friday, which it looks like we won't make, is part of the problem here. If somebody said it's definitely not going to open on Friday, People have been asked by the ferry companies to rebook and move their bookings, but they're still doing that. But one of the things that's happened as of yesterday is that no new bookings are being taken on the Pembroke route by our ferries, and it does not get like the ship capacity is there, the port capacity is not there.
Now Onposta hired aircraft to get their stuff in, so they say that everything that was due by Friday will be delivered by Friday, you know, the promise to have stuff in before Christmas. So however they manage to get around passenger caps, I don't know. But there's one small mercy here, and that is, you know, because of Brexit, people abandoned the land bridge through the UK and went directly to France, many suppliers, many traders. So that means the problem is not quite as acute as it might have been pre-Brexit.
Absolutely. A lot of the freight is going direct, not just in the passenger routes that we know, but freight-only routes, of whom there are quite a few. The freight aircraft aren't subject to the passenger cap, Pat, and it's very interesting to watch these guys who watch aircraft movements. You know, Sean's Aviation, big shout-out for he does terrific tracking, and he was tracking the burger buns being flown from Birmingham that would normally come by freight. It's not a solution. It's a very expensive solution for Onpost and for everyone else. There are 1,000 containers of freight are stacking up every day waiting to be transported, and a lot of the things we take for granted, our cornflakes in the morning, are coming through those routes.
The last question is really about future proofing in the event of storms and climate change and all the rest of it. We really have to have a fundamental infrastructural rethink.
I think the funding for ports was taken for granted. A lot of money, you know, the technology now has moved on for loading and unloading ships. It is done so quickly with 4 sailings a day. The unloading and the loading of that is very, very slick. I think a lot of attention was paid into the process of that, and we really need to look at some of the ports that were put in place over 100 years ago on both islands.
Owen, thank you very much for joining us. That's Owen Corry, editor of Air and Travel magazine and Travel Extra. Well, now it's time for this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.